Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Yeah. Ghetto children singing. See, what up? They eager to learn how to become the next world leaders. Brave hearts, huh? Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Book one, strategy, tactics, techniques. Look dumb, but massively notice the weakness in all them. Gotta you show me if necessary. Homie, vestige is very real if enemies carrying heavy steel. Beware the thugs who ain't scared of blood or jail time. When Aryan nations ain't having integration, we so blind of beauty of life. But when my mom said again, you could be Christ. I wasn't old enough to hold my d***ing P-right. Jesus, what is he like? I picture him standing with diamonds on him. Little different from the way my mommy saw him. Practice your aiming, physical training and difficult terraining. Test your endurance, try to keep your stamina banging. Splitting duchess up, strap up. The army's a school, teaching smart ways to go. I'm thinking Gandhi was a fool, the chronic's a fool. Got me thinking out loud. Sleep on my drunkenness, I blow your brains out. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
My revolution is as real as Bobby Seals I build. With dudes and Chris worth a quarter mil and Dick's Hill. For fish scales to cop blood. The time come, I mask up and get my comrade off the bus. Up the beef, I snatch a seed from Chuck E. Cheese and feed them to the rats in the back of the peas. Black fatigue and off the scenes on a sofa. 50-inch flat screen, Louis Vuitton holsters. My motions don't appeal to appellate division. I did it strong for 7 long years in prison. Of the system, I'm like a modern-day Hitler. A black gorilla, crib and blood and one only. Just know my face, I be the case when the wish at the police. Look at the name Lake, go simultaneously with street revolution. 21 gun salute, the new, here we
revolution, new. Every warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolution, every warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Teach our woman how to hold a family down in case something happens to us fathers. Protect the children, grab revolvers. The woman plays an important part of our life force of what we fight for. My heart goes to you, beautiful wife in war.
Enlist and more and talk less. Watch all and trust none. Demand your respect and be ready to die for what you believe in. And ride all the time, not just when convenient.
Justice and freedom, wisdom and understanding. We the lost children of Israel in this Western world region. You ain't a man, you a coward if you can't support the girl you put a seed in.
Strong rule the weak, but the wise rule the strong. It's more to a war than just getting it on. Seal your form, cover your tracks, stay prepared. I don't care, no one's spared.
Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here. Revolutionary warfare, warfare, love and war for the cause. I gotta take you off here.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. To struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson, sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it.
I'll see you today. Get him where that hurts.
Starring Gary Dordan from TV CSI.
This is the military, David.
Free the land. Revolutionary greetings. Welcome to another edition of Jordan University Radio. I'm your host, Bumani Shakir, where our goals are fivefold. Our first goal is to eradicate functional illiteracy among new African prisoners. Our second goal is to eradicate cultural ignorance among new African prisoners. Our third goal is to transform the criminal mentality to the new African mentality. Our fourth goal is to assist in the rebuilding and stabilization of the new African community. And our fifth goal is to prepare new African prisoners for release, reducing new African recidivism. And our overall goal is to transform the entire prison industrial complex, which is the prison system, into the big institutional learning by educational means. And we all know the purpose of education is to liberate our people, to be able to free ourselves and be able to be productive people in our own society we create on our own, which is independence. Before I bring on our guest tonight, I'd like to go over a couple of events that happened in history during this week. Okay. On December 25th, 1760, Jupiter Hammond, a New York slave who was probably the first new African poet, published an evening thought salutation by Christ with penitential cries. In 1837, a mixed force of Seminole Indians and New African defeated by U.S. troops at Battle of Uchicobe. Black Chief John Hoyt shared command with Alligator Sam Jones and Wildcat. In 1865, reports from all over the South said freedmen had abandoned plantations in expectation of a general distribution of land. Major General Rufus Satcher, the Freedmen Bureau commander in South Carolina, said the impression is universal among the freedmen that they are to have the abandoned and confiscated lands in homestead of 40 acres in January next. In 1875, Charles Caldwell, militant black militia officer, assassinated in Clinton, Mississippi. In 1951, the home of Harry and Harriet Moore were bombed due to their civil rights activism. Also in 1951, Harry T. Moore, a Florida NWC official, killed and his wife seriously injured by a bomb blast that wrecked their home in Mills, Florida. In 1956, the home of Reverend F.L. Shuttleworth in Birmingham, Alabama, protest leader, destroyed by dynamite bomb. In 1965, Congress of Racial Equality announced that its national director, James Farmer, resigned on March the 1st. On December 26, 1817, President James Monroe inaugurated the first Seminole War, sending General Andrew Jackson and U.S. troops to Florida to destroy or pacify the Seminoles and their new African allies. In 1848, William and Ellen Craft escaped from slavery in Georgia. Ellen Craft impersonated a slaveholder, and her husband, William, assumed the role of her servant in one of the most dramatic of the slave escapes. In 1908, Jane Johnson became the first new African heavyweight champion. In 1956, Birmingham New Africa began mass defiance of Jim Crow bus laws. Also, December 26th is the first day of Kwanzaa, which is emoji, which is unity. Okay. December 27, 1887, Stewart and Johnson's new metal bending equipment was patented. In 1956, Birmingham New Africa, hold up. Yeah, Birmingham New Africa began mass, federal judge Dozer Devane granted temporary injunction restraining city officials for interfering with integration of Tallahassee, Florida. City busing and said every segregation act of every city or state is as dead as a doornail. Also, on December 27th. It was the second principle of Kwanzaa, known as Kuta Jakalia, which means self-determination. On today, dated December 28, 1816, the American Colonization Society organized in the Hall of the House of Representatives and called for colonization of free blacks in Africa. In 1903, Earl Father Hines, father of the modern jazz piano, was born. In 1918, George H. White, last of the post-Reconstruction congressman, died in Philadelphia at the age of 66. In 1982, during the 28th through 31st, shooting of a new African by a Miami police triggered a race riot, base of rebellion. Okay, in 1986, more than 1,000 protesters marched through the Howard Beach community to protest the slaying of Michael Griff. Also, December 28th, is the third day of Kwanzaa, which is Ujima, which is collective work and responsibility. December 29th, 1881, Emir Malik, the first licensed new African aviator, was born. In 1952, Fletcher Henderson, arranger and band leader, died in New York City at the age of 55. In 1954, attorney Mama Nkechi Taifa was born. She's a member in Cobra, a Kashmir African citizen, an advocate for political prisoner, and so forth and so on. In 1969, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. was born. Chairman Harry Franklin Jr. is a chairman of the Black Panther Cubs and the overall freedom fighter. Also, the 29th, the fourth day of Kwanzaa, which is Ujamaa, which is cooperative economics. On December 3rd, 1892, Dr. Miles V. Link published the first national medical journal for new African physicians. In 1929, Sigma Gamma Rho Sorority Incorporated. In 1952, Tuskegee Institute reported. Hold on for a moment. Misinformation. I reported that was the first year in 71 years of tabulation that there were no lynching in America. In 1960, two U.S. courts issued temporary injunctions to prevent the eviction of about 700 new African sharecroppers in Haywood and Fayette County, Tennessee. December 31st, 1775. December 30th, the fifth day of Kwanzaa, which is Nia, which is purpose. Okay, December 31st, 1775, along by the impact of the Dunmore Proclamation, Washington reversed himself and authorized the enlistment of free blacks. In 1862, at a meeting on the proposed emancipation, President Lincoln rejected advice from cabinet members who asked him to free slaves in Union-held areas where he had the power to freedom. In 1918, Dr. Joseph Ben Jokanen, historian, activist, and author was born. Dr. Ben. 1930, Odetta Blues and Folk Singer was born. In 1936, Dr. Benjamin E. Mays, a YMC official, Channing Tobias, conferred with Mahatma Gandhi at his ashram in Wardha. Also on December 31st, the sixth day of Kwanzaa, known as Kumba, would mean creativity. You know, these are a couple of events that happened in history during this week, but there's plenty more, but the show must go on. First, I'd like to thank all the ones who've been following our broadcast since 2014. Thank all the people who are currently educating themselves in the community, kind of doing the work, and respect the communities. I want to send a shout out to all the new African political prisoners who are doing the work, the new African citizens doing the work, all the political prisoners doing the work by making design, publications, creating programs, so forth and so on. I salute y'all. Long liberation. You hear us out to all y'all. And tonight, I'd like to welcome to the show Sister Fala Nazarene. Peace and love, sister. How you doing tonight? Peace and love, sister. How you doing tonight, sister? Peace and love, sister. How you doing tonight?
I'm good. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I hear you. So yes, it was a technical difficulty then, First of all, thank you for coming to our broadcast, sharing knowledge and understanding. Thank you for the work you're doing in the past, present, and the future. Before we get into this, tell the people about yourself so we can understand who you are, what you do, you know, what you got going on. Tell the people about yourself.
Okay.
Where you from,
first,
you know, what
know
you got
I
going
can hear
on.
Me, but
you know, things are making.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you. So go
I'm
ahead.
Just trying to make sure you can hear me. Okay. It's Fela, long A, and Fela Nazarene. I'm from Los Angeles, California. I have lived, of course, in Georgia, in, you know, surrounding areas, not necessarily in Atlanta. I lived there for about close to 8 years working with the Atlanta Black Agenda Overground Railroad. We produced a multimedia paper connecting black businesses and churches with the community. So I worked as an editor, videographer, activist, community liaison of sorts, and really enjoyed that work that I did there in Georgia. So I was able to link up with, like I said, a lot of the grassroots media, WRG, community station, the concerned black clergy, the CBC, which was, again, an organization. They met weekly, I should say, and brought in just community leaders and from the church, from the community, from the school district, and even some entertainers and government, you know, school districts, whatnot, folks. So I really got integrated and acclimated to the community. And again, I worked restlessly, tirelessly, and with great honors of a lot of great people who doing serious work in the community. And like I said, in all different fields and aspects. So that's where I came from as far as my activism there in the Southeast. And again, I'm from Los Angeles, so I'm from the hip-hop community here, the underground, overground, just fully. I'm fully in the hip-hop scene over here. And again, my roots are the AME church. So that's kind of a conglomerate of who I am from California to the A.
Okay. I want you to tell us a little bit about some of your activism and work in California, you know, in regards
okay.
to, okay, go ahead.
Just currently, again, I'm a foster parent, and we're working on social services here in California. So my nonprofit, I've established my nonprofit 5 years ago, Saving Our Seeds Project, or SOS Project. And again, we're a network of foster parents. Of course, I'm a black native, so I'm dealing mostly with sisters like myself. And then, of course, there's a large community of brown here. So I've had Mexican, specifically, children in my home. And again, I've also had children from out of Florida and I believe she was Louisiana, New Orleans, in my home. So again, kind of dealing with children from all over the place, black and brown, with the emphasis, again, on black children. I'm also dealing with children with autism, special needs, so I'm an ABA therapist as well. And I work within the school districts. Right now, I live in Irvine, so I'm not as in touch as far as the ABA therapy with our youth because of where I live. But my plans are to start going into the Long Beach area, where I'll be dealing more with black and brown with therapy. What we're striving to do with the Saving Our Seeds Project is get, like I said, we have the Harriet Tubman Homes, which is our stations, our foster homes. We're a network of foster parents. We are here working on a building fund so that we can have our first official Harriet Tubman headquarters, official home. So that's kind of where we're bringing us to where we are here and now. Of course, actively working as a foster parent, actively, of course, dealing with reparations, which we've been dealing with for the last couple of decades. But moving forward, again, talking about repair and where we, well, the, you know, self-repair, our part in reparation. And that's what I'm striving to build for our community. And also working with a couple of sisters in Nevada, there in Georgia, building a stronger network of foster parents. And we're also recruiting. So anyone out there who is interested in being a foster parent or possibly putting getting a group home or transitional housing program together, again, we have our Harriet Tubman Homes network where we offer services as far as just doing the research for you, getting everything prepared for you. Of course, we recommend that folks go through their county so that you have your own license and you're not going through other folks' certification. So that's what we help you do. If whatever state you're in, whatever county you're in, you would contact myself or I have someone in your state, not necessarily your county, but in your state. And, again, we do the research. We help you through the process. And we also have a small fund with helping you get your your house ready. So getting your house prepared as far as there's a – it's a minimal – it's not that expensive, but it could be – it could get costly. You may not have you might not have the petty cash. So again, if you are interested in being a foster parent, you don't necessarily have you know, an extra $500 to $1,000 on hand to make sure that you have all of the things in your home, such as fire extinguishers, first aid kits. You may need a bunk bed set, mattresses, things like that. Again, to prepare for allowing a child into your home. That's what our network is about. We do have, like I said, a small fund for that. And it's on a month-to-month basis, so we can only help one family a month. But we are prepared to help and assist. We're getting you going.
Okay.
I know I'm super long-winded.
That's some good info. Oh, it's all good. It's all good. It's just, you know,
okay.
It's all good. So I want to ask you about the SOS, the Saving Our Seeds, right? In regards to Saving Our Seed, what are some of the things that Saving Our Seed did for the youth? What are some of the things you know did or engage into, or some of the future activities or the present activities? What are some of the activities that Save Our Seeds have been involved with? How can a person get involved with it?
We have fall was our third year doing our yearly or annual backpack giveaway. So that's something that I do on a yearly basis. And I also at this time, so this is when we're going into the spring and we're doing a pop-up of social service booths where, again, I'll be giving away the runover of the backpacks. And I have toys and educational games like chess, and we got to have Monopoly, just little small, the smaller games and things for the children. So we're doing a pop-up on Friday, and we're going to give away gifts, Zawadi, I should say, for Kwanzaa. And, again, it's just a social service booth where I have clothing, our everyday clothing. So I was talking about our thrift store that we're building. It's a virtual thrift store, also a clothing closet. So it's a virtual thrift store for those, you know, everyday people. And then for our social services, it's a clothing closet where you'll be able to I am personally getting makeovers for our women head-to-toe makeovers to get into the work industry, so or get back into school or some kind of training. So a few outfits, 2 to 3 outfits from the clothing closet, and assistance with again, if you want to get back into trade school, into a trade school, into college, junior college, even if you want to go back to school to get your BA, master's, doctor degree, again, we're here to assist you and give you a hands up, getting back into, acclimated into the community, whatever that might be. So, again, we're foster parents. We're also working with the parents. When we talk about saving our seeds, we're talking about making sure that our seeds get back to their parents, and their parents are getting services. Again, striving to be a part of a whole family solution rather than being on one end of the, you know, the social services spectrum. So that's, yeah, in a nutshell, that's kind of what we're working towards and what we're doing. Again, giving folks a hand up and working with sisters who, and brothers, of course, but mostly, of course, we see a lot of women who are open to the help. Again, brothers, I don't do, I'm not a barber, but we have gift certificates and a network of barbers where, again, if you're in L.A. or Orange County, surrounding counties, we do head-to-toe makeovers for brothers as well, fathers as well, help you get into school, get into a trade school, find services with helping find job references, as well as making sure that we can get both men and women into the EDD services in your community. So, again, we're a resource, a social services resource, to make sure that you know all of the things that are going on in your specific county, all of the, again, the programs and services that are for low-income, no-income, homeless, coming out of prison, coming out of mental institutions, again, being in under court orders where you have to get certain, you know, you have to do certain things to get your children back into your home and into your custody. We are here, again, not to just help you with your children, but to help you yourself get yourself together and get your child placed back in your home. And again, I am here in California, but I am working and striving to get ones and ones across the nation who we could connect with social services. And again, if we don't have anyone in your state, we will do the work and actually call the social services nearest to you. We can find shelters. We can find outpatient services, therapy referrals, all of that. That's what we are. That's what we do. And when we talk about saving our seeds, again, can't save our seeds without making sure that the person who planted the seed, the person who harvested, held, and gave birth to the seed. So, you know, that's important as well. So, again, striving to balance the scale, make sure that we're not just dealing with the children, but we're striving to get the children back to their mother and father, their family, whatever that looks like.
True indeed. My next question is, I understand you defined the imprisonment of the Harriet Tubman's home, right? Can you tell me your reason for naming it Harriet Tubman home? What is the significance of that? What did that actually mean?
Okay, well, the Harriet Tubman homes, when we first came up with the name, and again, I give thanks to all the sisters who've been working with me over the last few years. When I first came back, I took one of my best friends out there in Georgia. Actually, her good friend here in California, Renee, came up with Harriet Tubman Homes. We're throwing a few names around, and, you know, they were calling me Little Harriet, and it was like, yeah, we're all Harriet. We are Harriet Tubman. So that's what we started saying, you know, each station, wherever we are. And, again, that's my sister Michelle. She's out there in Georgia, and Renee is out here in Ontario. I think she's actually thinking about moving to Georgia. My other sister, my sister-in-law, in fact, Monique, she's out there in Nevada. We have a sister in Arizona. We have another sister in Texas. So, again, we're all like, yeah, it's not, you know, Phelan's not the only one doing the work. So, even, like I said, by the day, when you say, where did the name come from? Actually, it came from Renee, you know, because we are Harriet Tubman, and we're opening up our homes. And that's what it's about, you know, having these stations where we're striving to get free. At the end of the day, that's what it represents, having a station, having a home, providing these services, getting ourselves free. And in 2023, give us a free, we're going to get free over in California. I wanted to, hey, let me shout out California, because guess what? California is doing a dang old thing. I'm so thankful that I myself and my daughter were able to, in 2020, right before the pandemic, push out that America on Child for Reparations. And at the same time, California was out here just doing their thing with the task force. And we're moving forward with this, okay? So, and you know, whatever happens in Cali, it moves across the nation. So you all, they getting real mad out here about the fact that the governor's starting to push through some things and go straight to the president and get some things, you know, out of our budget, out of the California budget to pay black natives. Okay, and again, we know that our root is Africa, but we also know that we are black natives, and this is our soil. You know what I mean? When we talk about free to land, we're extending that across this place. Okay, California was named after a what? African queen, okay? So, again, this is our
free
to land from the east to the west. Exactly, from the north to the south and the east to the west, free them all, free the land, free us all, give us a free 2023, you know what I mean? And we plan on, and over here in California, let me tell y'all something. By Juneteenth next year, this year, 2023, we plan on dancing in the streets because we done heard something from our governor, okay? Because we got our foot on these Mickey Ficky's necks out here. We not playing, and we not playing because we understand that in California, they say it rises in the east and sets in the west, but I'm going to say this. We ready to set it off so it's rising and flaming all over this Mickey Ficky, for real. And again, to those out there who are opposed to reparations, whether you are black because you are boule, black, whatever, or because you are delusional for whatever reason, I want you to get out of that delusion, because in fact our ancestors said that, you know what I mean, that we've had ancestors who could come and gone. Okay, all the way, I was the last living attorney working on the case. And okay, you let him not, you know, died in vain. Because again, they took him out of here as soon as he started working on their case. Okay, got up out of here. So, again, they can't kill us all, and we all screaming we need our reparations. We don't want reparations. We need and we deserve, and we are owed a reparations, okay? So that's what time it is. And I don't know why the spirit and the ancestors told me to get that off, but I had to get that off. I had to get that off. I had to get that off.
True indeed. True indeed.
Yeah, I'm sipping my tea. I had to get
that off. I know you mentioned some other sisters. So is the Harriet Tubman Home going to be a network of a different institution in different states, or those are the people that are working to make it more of an aspect of a collective working responsibility, like Ujima, like today's principle? Is it that aspect or is
it
something different?
It is, in fact, it is Harriet Tubman Home. So it is our home. Is it, right now I am one station. Like I said, everybody that I named is a Harriet Tubman Home affiliate, and we're all foster parents or youth advocates or social service providers. Again, everyone active in their own way. So everybody is not a foster parent, but we're all youth active advocates as well as community activists. And again, it's Harriet Tubman Homes with an S. And again, we're working on a headquarters. And that's what the building fund is about. So the headquarters is where we're going to house our transitional housing program. So that once we establish the Harriet Tubman headquarters, that's where our first transitional housing program will take place. And that's going to be a transitional housing program for those aging out of foster care. So from 16, 17, emancipated to 21, 23, depending on some, you know, children can stay in the system and in these transitional programs up to 23, depending on their educational status. They, you know, some have, you know, mental health where they can extend till they're 23. And again, when we talk about Harriet Tubman homes, that's where we get our children. We get our adopt our families, because again, everybody's not a foster parent. That we might be ones, like I said, providing social services, adopting whole families. Okay, and once we get that established, we plan on again having our network growing and adding on. So yeah, I think you. What did you say today's principal was?
It's Ujima. Ujima, collective work responsibilities.
So, definitely. It's definitely a collective. And again, like I said, we've been building and working out the kinks along the way. And the end game again is to have our Harriet Tubman home headquarters, and in the meantime, still doing the work, and we have our homes, our network.
Okay. My next question is your organization willing to work with other organizations for common goals?
Absolutely.
If so, what organizations have y'all worked with what organizations have y'all worked with presently or in the past?
Well, right now, honestly, I've been working with the, you know, government contracted organizations and like the Boys and Girls Clubs. I work with the Boys and Girls Club of San Fernando Valley, the Boys and Girls Club in Anaheim, and then the Fullerton Library. So, and the Boys and Girls Club of Fullerton, which is right across the street from the library. So I've been basically working with nonprofits that are connected, so more connected with, you know, government contracts at this point. I would love to engage with other, you know, grassroots organizations. That's why I'm on the line here. So anybody out there who's listening, but also I would like to extend those connections that I've made with the libraries and the Boys and Girls Clubs, and again, I'm moving the wise. So that's kind of where I am with what I'm doing, because again, I'm striving to make sure that we have the economics behind what we're doing, as well as again, some corporate sponsors and whatnot when we move forward. I don't know if that makes sense. But I'm definitely open to working
sense.
With other grassroots black organizations right now. I haven't as of yet, other than, again, my sisters across the country who are all, you know, doing this work.
Okay. My next question you said these children are different ages, right? Is there any kind of educational component that's available, something like learning history or learning some kind of trade, what's the educational component in regards to all this work that you're doing to the youth? Do they have any connection or have an aspect that they can learn some things about knowledge of self, or learn about African history, or learn some kind of trade, or, you know, with the aspect of that in regard to his work in particular?
I'm trying to understand what you're saying. I don't understand the question.
Okay. My question is, in regard to the work with youth, what type of education programs do y'all offer to them? Or do y'all present, or is any kind of like, do y'all offer any kind of trades or vocational trades, well, education? What do y'all offer to them on the educational aspect?
Oh, okay. Well, on the educational aspect, we offer referrals. So I'm not necessarily, because I'm as a foster parent and as a youth advocate and whatever. I'm not necessarily coming in, okay, on a personal level in my home. You know, we lead by example. And so, of course, my children that come in my care, like I said, I've had brown children who I've educated on who we are as a people just by walking in and living with us. But to answer that question, again, it's a sticky thing. And, again, in my own personal home, I can educate as far as I can educate. However, it's all-inclusive because of the field that I'm in. And, again, we give referrals as far as making sure that, you know, if you know, the say you want your child, say you're a foster parent, you come in contact or you end up having a child in your home who maybe is, so the first example is someone with special needs, which is a special needs child, so we can kind of figure out, assess the child, activities and referrals we can get them into that will assist them with whatever, you know, special needs that they have or whatever, they say disabilities, but I say, you know, their special abilities. So say a child is dealing with ADHD or whatever, anything. We have, we would refer them to maybe like some mixed martial arts, we would refer them to some, even as far as maybe you have a child who's pre-diabetic. Because I actually did have a child who was pre-diabetic. I got them into different activities. Okay, so you may have a child who's obese or whatever, pre-diabetic, and we will refer them to services where maybe they get into some swimming lessons, aqua aerobics or whatever. Again, mixed martial arts, depending on the personality, yoga, whatever. So stuff like that. And also these, we would refer them to free programs. And there are a lot of programs that I've that I know about because, again, I've been a foster parent now for I'm going on 20 years. Not straight, but, you know. But I know that in each county they have, like, camps. They have winter camps, summer camps. Again, they have equestrian programs where you could, you know, that's a part of therapy. You can have your child go learn how to ride horses, clean horses, pet horses, you know what I mean? They have just a gamut of different things and organizations that have scholarships for our children you know, like a semester basis, quarter basis, and also based on them being in the system. So those are the kind of things that that we can do, we can refer. But, again, we don't get specific to, you know, race-specific. No, there's no race-specific thing that I can talk about on air right now that we're doing. That's not what we do. So, again, that's not my focus all because that's not my field. Okay, and another thing, because this is what I thought you were asking. So I just wanted to say, for anybody who is interested in being a foster parent across the nation, you should have a high school diploma. But you don't have to have one. Again, if you don't have a high school diploma, we can help you get a GED. We can help you get into a adult school where you can get your high school diploma. And trades and whatnot, move on and go as far as, like I said, your doctorate degree, if that's what you want to do, we have services to help you with that. But to be a foster parent, there are classes that you will have to take that everybody across the board has to take, no matter how, and you could be a doctor, okay, you still have to take the same classes as someone with a GED. So, and you get well educated throughout the years, okay? So I've had to take classes for being a foster parent. Every 2 years you have to maintain your license. And then anytime that you like move to a different county, you have to take the classes, learn exactly what's going on in your county. So there are laws, rules, things specific to your county. And again, you can go through an agency. And again, I say that you should get your own license and not get certified through an agency. Get your own license. Go through your county, get your own license, and then that way, if you're licensed through a county, I know what county you're licensed through, we can make contacts and we can act as, again, we're not an agency, we are a network, okay, so we can call your agency and find out ahead of time while you're doing your foster parenting or you're doing your parenting. We're here 3 and 4 months ahead of time finding out about the summer camps that are available for the 3 children age appropriate in your home. So these are the things that we're able to do to work with you as a liaison, and again, as a network. You know, we're all, again, here at Tubman Homes, we're all striving to make sure that we have places for our children to be while their parents and their family are getting together to bring them back home. Okay, so we're an extended family service where we want our children, again, to come full circle back into their homes. And we need more black homes, okay, black American homes, okay? And again, don't let anyone discourage you by making you feel like there's anything wrong with being a foster parent, getting paid to be a foster parent. You don't get paid, you get reimbursed, okay? And again, there's no payment for watching a child 24/7. They couldn't even pay us if they wanted to. But there is the reimbursement. There is the training, and there is the love. There is the joy of having children in your home that you're helping. And again, extending yourself as family, not just to the children, but to the parents who are in a tough situation. Because when you have your children removed from your home, you are in a tough situation. I've never experienced it. Praise be to Jah, Yah, the Almighty Abba. Okay. But I've seen the children. I know the children. I feel the children. You can never be a better mom or the greatest mom to that child because that child wants their biological mom. So we're not trying to replace moms. We're just striving to, you know, stand in the gap and get this child back to their mom, get them to their dad, or get them to the nearest relative. And, again, nearest relatives, aunts, uncles, all that. If you know that your child is in the system anywhere in the country, again, you could call us, okay? Let me put my number out there, 626-536-0051. That is a public number. My email is p.nazarene, N-A-Z-A-R-I-N-E, @gmail.com. Again, call, email, and we will help you get certified when you are a biological relative. This is it's a quick process. They give you your license, not a certification. They give you your license. They give it to you quick, and you know they do a quick background check, and they get your child out of foster care and into your home, out of that situation. Okay. And again, if it's as simple as you don't have the extra $300 to make sure that you have, you know, a good mattress and a fire extinguisher, and again, contact us because we can make this happen. And again, you can make this happen. More importantly, we can assist you with making that happen, getting your child back in your home, because that's where the child wants to be.
True indeed. True indeed. You know, for everybody who's listening, right, can you tell us the type of support that you need or you requesting or what people can do to support your efforts or, you know, for everybody listening?
Okay. Feel inclined to support, you can go to my Facebook page, and I have a standing fundraiser for the SOS project. You can give a $5 donation. You can all, after the promotion, you can always support by buying either one of my books. We have America on Trial for Reparations, which is an ebook on Amazon. And then we have my first experimental. Like I said, it's kind of like an autobiography with a little poetry, little journalism, journaling. I keep saying that. Little journaling and a short novelette. So it's, like I said, my little experimental personal project, very dear to my heart. And you can purchase it, again, on Amazon. That supports our project, because again, at the end of the day, the end result is we want to get this Harriet Tubman home, which is going to be our foundation transitional, first transitional home. Also, I'm starting a sponsorship program where, again, you can email me if you're interested in becoming a sponsor, where I'm matching book for book. So if you buy three books, I'll take those three books and find libraries in either your community or my community, surrounding communities here in California, and we want to have a physical book. So the next thing that I'm striving to do is get actually both books, but we're going to start with my book in the libraries. So a physical book. So it's already on Kindle, where anybody can go and read the first, I think it's like 10 pages, and it's Please Pass the Mic. This is my story. These are my songs. Again, very dear to me. I'm real sensitive about my stuff, but I'm out there. And again, I wrote that book specifically for myself, for my own personal healing and telling my story. And I wrote it as a tool to fundraise. So that's how you can support. You can donate from now until, I think it's the 7th, on Facebook. That's Fela Nazarene, Black Her Majesty. The little fundraiser is on there. And, or, again, buy one of the books. The e-book, America on Trial for Reparations, it's been available since 2020. And it's doing its thing. It's been used in a few classroom settings. So I got little dividends for that, and you know, it's doing its thing. But once it gets to paperback, which again I'm still working on expanding it's America on Trial for Reparations, and I think that I'm going to this season, because I'm trying to see what's going to happen. This year, I say I'm done with that, because I'm just not done with it yet.
True indeed. You said your book, what name of your book? What's the reparation book name again?
It's America on Trial for Reparations. Rebirth of the Movement, America on Trial for Reparations.
Okay. That's an interesting title. Can you tell her why you chose that title, America on Trial for Reparations? What made you chose that title?
Okay, well, the documentary, which is the book, is completely transformed the documentary film that we put together, and it's a collection of interviews, and that has been one of the questions that I ask pretty much everybody that I've interviewed across the board for the last like 15, 20 years. So I have from Freeway Rick Ross to Dreads from Black Sheep. We have Bruce Dixon in there. I have Dr. Cynthia McKinney is actually doing, she actually did some narrations for me, like I said, about probably 10 years ago, where I wrote the narrations and she actually recorded them while she was, I think she was in Israel, if I'm not mistaken. She was out of the country, but she was able to do that for me and send me the recording. So that's in there. And again, it always comes back to what is your stance on reparations? I always want to know, no matter what we talk about, and let's talk about reparations, you know. So, and then I have the HR 40, you know, I just took from the, because I know, number one, if I didn't document the HR 40 hearing in the documentary, people would, you know, just like let that slip right on by. You know what I mean? Like they've been doing. We've had plenty of hearings, and we've been talking about reparations forever now, right? So I put, like I said, Sheila. What is it? Sheila Jackson. I put her in there, I put it, you know, just all the folks who were saying what they need to, Ta-Nehisi, what's Ta-Nehisi Coates, I have him in there. So everybody who was on the HR 40, you know, whatever that was, claim was a hearing, but it looked more like a television show to me. I was like, hey, so I put that in there. And again, just I documented as well as got community voices across the country. Like I said, from the common person at the dispensary, I pulled a boy out of the dispensary and interviewed him right there and watched. To again, Freeway Ricky, okay, because you know we talk about drugs and you know he's a part of that whole COINTELPRO bringing drugs into the neighborhood. Okay, well, okay, and you know, again, he was like, oh yeah, he had, you know, and again. My bottom line is we can talk about a whole lot of stuff, but at the end of the day, if we ain't talking about reparations, we ain't talking about nothing. You know what I mean? And if we're not talking about self-repairing, getting in here and doing some work, we ain't talking about nothing. So that's where I came from. America is going to pass for reparations, and America is going, and this generation is not going to pass until they give us our reparations. So that's where it came from. America is on trial right now for reparations, and they got to pay. See how they on trial? See how we said it? Once you say it, that's words out power, right? I said it then, 2020, and they are really on trial right now. The world is looking at America. Are you going to pay us? Are you going to pay us? Are you going to pay us? Are you going to? First of all, like I said, I work in a field where I can't be all, you know, militant and as black as I desire to be. But I walk in who I am. I walk and stand and 10 toes down in this. This black girl thing, this black woman thing, you know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, we have to make sure that we're not just talking black, but we're uplifting what it is to be black, and we're uniting on what it is to be black in America, and we're not allowing folks to silence us in who we are. Like I said, I'm standing 10 toes down in my blackness. I don't got to scream Africa because I'm a black Native American and this is my country. I don't have to scream Africa. You can look at my skin and know that I came from the original. Okay, I'm from the original seed. But again, when we talking about originally where we from, that ain't the conversation for reparations unless we talking about we need to make them pay too. We need to make them pay, too. See, we don't want to have that conversation right now. And I ain't even trying to force us to have that conversation right now. The conversation right now is reparations. So the conversation is reparations, okay? If we want to talk about how black and African we are, then we're going to have another conversation that ain't for right now. See what I'm saying? We can't have that conversation right now because that's, to me, that is an interruption to our reparations, okay? Because I'm going to tell, again, I'm not going to argue about being African when I'm talking about being American and wearing my Mickey Sippy, what's on me? Feel me? And again, I'm not going to have no African or European African come over here trying to tell me what I don't deserve and woo-woo, but they over here on the sweat of my brow, okay? They getting jobs that I'm not getting, okay? They writing stories that I should be writing, okay? I've been an artist forever. Everybody in L.A. knows who the hell I am and my gift. But we got people coming from Europe. We got people coming from Africa getting my jobs, okay? And, again, I say my talking about all of us because it's a bunch of sailors all over the country from Los Angeles to the A. We are skilled. We are talented. We are beautiful. We are marvelous. And they won't, as black Native women, give us our jobs. Give us our stuff. Okay, they're giving it to everybody else but us because, again, they're so afraid that we're going to say exactly what Salem's saying right now. Okay, I wouldn't have to say this if you could just give us our reparations. Then we don't have to talk about when you level and even at this playing field for real, because, again, the Jamaican who comes over here, the Belizean who comes over here, the African who comes over here, the European African, whatever who comes over here, they come over here with privilege because they got the privilege of getting the fuck out of here if they want to. Okay, when shit gets hot, they pull out their I'm African card. They pull out their I'm Nigerian card. They pull out their I'm pulling out my I'm a black Native card. I'm a black Native. My blood runs through this soil from coast to coast, north, south, east, west. I'm pulling my card. And I'm not worried about nobody talking about how African I can be because I'm a black Native. That's my land. From the north and the south and the east and the west. Free the land, free them all, free us all, because Okay, this is fucked up when we're being silenced and we're being told to pretend like we're people that we're not. Okay? Again, I don't celebrate Kwanzaa for a few different reasons. And we can talk about Kwanzaa, but we don't want to talk about Kwanzaa right now. We don't want to talk about him right now. Okay? Because we don't got time to talk about him right now. Because people have actually grown from Kwanzaa. So again, good out of good things and make the best out of that. But again, I tell y'all, stop burning the red, black, and green candles. Because again, that's witchcraft. Okay? And again, we're not sure about Kwanzaa. We're not sure about Kwanzaa. We're sure about Kwanzaa because it's a great principle. But we're not sure about Kwanzaa. And we're going to stop playing about being so sure about people that we ain't sure about. I'm too old to play. Too old to play. I think the answer is the one that's
man.
I know you like long, you know, long, but I'm serious. You know what I mean?
Yes, ma'am. I understand. You know, if a person wants to view the documentary that you were talking about, how do they go about doing so? Where can they find it?
You can listen to the audio. You can go to my website, and the audio is up on my website, and it's actually playing through the blog talk. Documentary has only been seen in a film festival because of the, you know, the pandemic. So it was in the Hollywood Atlanta film festival out there. So it was in a film festival out there. I have not, again, released it. I'm thinking about releasing it on my YouTube once I get to my 1,000 subscribers, but I definitely am not releasing it before then. So I may do, like I said,
okay,
10 minutes of it. But if you want to hear the audio is on my website, America on Trial for Reparations, SavingOurSeedsProject.org, Harriet Tubman Homes. It's always the same place. So you have to go to any of those, you go to the same website, and then you hit the side, and you'll land on the page where you're looking for whatever it is. So if you're looking for Harriet Tubman Homes, you go to SavingOurSeedsProject.org, Harriet Tubman. I don't know how you got to the website, but again, any of those, SavingOurSeedsProject.org will take you to Harry Tubman Homes, will take you to my bio, it'll take you to a few different things, to my book, so.
Okay. Okay.
Like
let me ask you a question.
That's my little home.
True indeed. Let me ask you a question. Can you tell us, what exactly does your name mean? You know, what does it mean? What does it signify?
Sayla. Okay, Sayla, that's my birth name. So it means first fruit. It's a Hindu name, and my mother named me Sayla. So it means first fruit. And again, people say Fala, and that's the Indian way to say it. So when Indians say Fala, yeah, I know. And again, even when there's other folks, but I say Sayla because, again, that's the Nazarene. That's my chosen name, and again, it says exactly what it is, that I am a follower of the teachings of Christ, okay, and again, I'm not, quote-unquote, a Christian, because I don't even know exactly what that means, and I'm not necessarily a Hebrew Israelite, because I don't necessarily know what that means, so I just subscribe to the Most High. Like I said, I say, Yah, Jah, Abba, and again, I subscribe to the teachings of Christ. And when I say Christ, I mean, and whether Jesus, Yeshua, lived in the flesh or in as a story, however you interpret it, because I'm going to be all men, women, to all men and women, however you interpret it, literally or figuratively, we're supposed to be walking that walk. So when I say that and I put Nazarene on my name, I'm saying that's the walk that I'm walking. Okay, and no, I'm not perfect like the Christ, nor was Martin Luther King, nor was Malcolm X, nor was Harry Tubman. None of us are going to be perfect, but again, that's a guiding light to how we strive to walk. You know, we're trying to, you know, forgive folks and slay demons and devils and, you know, stand for righteousness and take care of the, you know, downtrodden, take care of ourselves, you know, love our neighbors, you know. So this is, again, that's what it stands for, walking. And again, the Nazarites were the ones who protected those, were the people with the locks in the scriptures. They took the vow to be remain holy. They took the vow to protect the Christ, to protect the ones who worship in the Most High, and who you know. So in other words, guardians of the light, guardians of the truth, guardians of righteousness. That's who the Nazarites and the Nazarenes are.
Okay. I understand that. I was looking on your website, right? And I see y'all do a lot of different things that are geared to everything, literacy, health. Y'all have book clubs, block clubs, skate meetups. Y'all do a lot of different activities, right?
Tomorrow we're going skating. Anybody want to meet us out there at 5 o'clock? We're going skating tomorrow. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. I want to say, all the activities, are they just for the foster children, or are they for children in general? Or what is there any stipulations on that, the activities?
In fact, no, they're not. All your activities and clubs, and I said we're launching the House of Clubs. Okay, let me say something about some of the things that are on the website. You know how the scriptures say, and we all understand, build it so they can come and, you know, speak things into existence as if they were, and they, you know, they manifest. So some of the stuff, again, there are activities that I've done throughout the years, and some of it is our pilot activities that I'm starting to launch. So, again, like the skating club, bike club, these are things and activities that I did and have done, of course, with my foster children. And these are activities that I would like to, once we have our, you know, our headquarters, as well as, again, when we finish, you know what I mean? So, again, some of the stuff is in action. Some of the stuff is there in pilot where we're ready to launch once everything's in order. The website, again, is where I live. So,
true indeed.
Did that make sense?
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, it makes
and
sense.
And I need support with everything on there. So everything that's there, if it's in pilot, I'm looking for support. If anybody is interested in even some of the clubs launching in your city and state, I would love to assist you. Again, build it, make it come. I'm building it. I'm continuously building it, striving to, and I'm waiting, and I'm here, and I'm open.
Okay. I know it's a book club, library meetups, right? Oral book reports and written book report contest. Writer block, exclusive book club for writers and photographers only, right? You know,
yeah.
In regards to the contest, how would a person go about participating in that?
Okay, well, it's going to be all virtual, and the first the first book club meeting that we're going to have is going to be in February. So we're going to I'm giving everyone an opportunity. So I have quite a few people who are members of the book club already. Everybody who got the book, they're already in. It's right now, it's basically a lot of my family and friends because they're critiquing my book. So that's the first thing that we're doing in February, the first meetup. We're critiquing my book. And then the first official book that we're going to read after we critique my book is Medical Apartheid. I've been talking to everybody, and that's what we came up. We want to do Medical Apartheid. So that's going to be the first book. And, again, the club is for everybody. So that's kind of how I put it. But first and foremost, it's for writers and readers like you said, to all the book contests and all that. That won't, we'll announce exactly what the contest will be in February and move forward with that. And again, the book club is for us to come together. Number one, I want everybody in the book club to purchase and read my book and critique it. Okay, so I want an honest critique of my book. And then if you are a writer and you're interested in publishing, again, we have Power of the Pen Publishing, which I haven't talked about, but Power of the Pen Publishing is our family publishing company where we assist you with, we'll do everything for you and we'll publish it under Power of the Pen Publishing. If you want assistance with self-publishing, there's a cost and a fee for that, which is, you know, probably half of what it costs for us to actually publish it for you. But there is a fee, and we'll help you step-by-step self-publish your own book. And that may be one of the contests that we may that may be a part of a package for a contest. If you're a writer, you win the contest, we will publish your book for free through Power of the Pen Publishing. So, yeah, that's what we're doing with the book club. And, again, I really want to get people engaged. Let's talk about my book. Let's talk about your book. Let's talk about these books that are already published out here. Like you said, the educational aspect of the club. We're going to get into this medical apartheid, number one. That's like I said, that's the book that everybody, when I say, what should we start with, that's what we've all concluded, medical apartheid. So, y'all, if you're interested, get either one of those books and then grab, grab medical apartheid, because that's going to be the book that we're going to be dealing with as a club and as a whole.
Medical apartheid is a very interesting book. They talk about a lot of the things that occurred medically wise, and basically explain the reason why. A lot of times we don't want to deal with the hospital, we don't want to deal with the clinic, we don't want to deal with the institutional way of thinking in regards to their physicians and, you know, the ski experiment,
right,
and so forth and so on, right? Those things,
right,
man, you know, and which is very important. That's very important from a lot of levels. You know what I'm saying? Especially when dealing with the youth. You know, the youth have been subjected to so many different things medically wise, you know, especially right now with ADHD. Medication and
right,
the mental and labor of the children because of their creativity, you know, so many different things that are going on right now. All they follow right in suit in regard to the medical apartheid. A lot of different things like that. That's a very interesting
right.
book, man, to look into, to investigate, to have discussion around, you know, and also what you were saying in regard to your publication. The trial for American reparations, you know, that's something that's been going on, that reparation call has been going on for a couple of hundred years now in regard to Callie Hawes and N. Cobra and, you know, different
right.
organizations, you know, that have been pushing the aspect in regard to reparation, from the different aspect of reparation relating to land, relating to the release of political prisoner, reparation in regard to relating monetary funds, there's just different things, you know, even a special field order, 2 acres and a mural or whatever you want to call it, you know, that aspect of things, right, you know, and also what you said, the aspect of repairing your mind, to get your mind in a certain way so you can be able to repair your community, right, that's always
right.
a beautiful thing,
right.
to get our mind in a certain way to you know, that to base or to indoctrinate ourselves to a person who dealing with self-determination, a person who dealing
right.
with building up their community, building with unity and all the other aspects that we have that we should be doing anyway on a day-to-day basis, right? So a lot of your work is really commendable, you know, because you actually taking care or the children that been neglected or the children that being overlooked or the children that considered oblivious or No, I want to ask you, in regards to being a foster mom, what are some of the issues that you face daily? What are some of the issues you face, you know, in regards to that particular status, you know? What are some of the things you face issues-wise, you know?
Well, okay. The number one issue that I have dealt with being a foster parent is the system in itself not being that concerned with, again, reuniting these children with their biological parents and families. I feel like that's why I've decided to transition into having my own agency, as well as having this nonprofit, this aspect of the nonprofit. Because again, Saving Our Seeds Project has a few different initiatives, but yeah, being more involved with the social services aspect, because they're just not as concerned as they should be. It's more, okay, we let the courts decide what's going on. We don't offer anything at all for the parents. We're totally, like, as soon as you get the children, they're already within a month. Because number one, if you place children, more than one or two children in a home, and they're doing well for the first couple of months, it is a good thing. However, it's not a permanent thing. And these social service agencies, they will immediately start talking to you about adopting, long-term fostering. They don't come in after a good month and say, this is going really well, now let's start seeing how we can get you with the family, or see how we can start looking, you know what I mean? It's not about reunification. They say it is, but it is not. And it's really easy for someone who is not like me, who is not in my mindset, because I'm like, from the beginning, if I know a child is supposed to go back home, I know that, and I have my heart there. And I would like for my heart and all of the parents' hearts to be there. Like, this child is going home, and I don't have to, in my mind, that's why I said, what my own agency that I am going to implement once I get in position, extended family project. And again, I want to be extended family. So I don't, when they come to me, if they're doing great in 2 months, I want to then turn on, okay, this is not their forever home, but I'm their forever auntie, or I'm their forever godmother. You know what I mean? That vibration, not the, okay, well, yeah, they're going home, Or they're doing so great, I want to take them from their horrible parents, and who cares if they get rehabilitated, see? Because people will get connected, and the children are never going to get connected to you like that. You see what I'm saying? And it's not fair for the children, because the expectation is that. So let me tell you, for example, I had three, three Mexican girls. Wonderful girls, they were great, okay? They had their, they had their issues, but all girls do. Okay, a period, okay? And again, we were great. So the agency, they were so excited about how great we were that, again, they're talking about permanency. And I'm looking at them like, no, this is not a permanent situation. Even the girls, when they permanency, the whole energy in the house changed. Well, me and for them, because neither one of us wanted permanency. We had my kind of agency in place, it'd have been, oh, this is perfect. Now I don't ever have to worry about not seeing my girls again. I will never see those girls again because of the way the process, not I will never see them again, but it's not how it should be. It should be once they went back to their family, which they did, they went to their grandmother, which again, had it been my program, I would have been able to help the grandmother. The grandmother had to go through a whole process of finding a new apartment, had to get this, get that, and it took time because, again, it's costly, right? Again, I never wanted to take those girls from their family. I never wanted to not ever talk to those girls again. See the dilemma there? So
yes,
that's the issue that I see. We're not extending ourselves. And the social services are not making it important enough. And again, that's about accountability as well. If every foster parent knew that that child is, you are now a part of their extended family forever, that family would be more accountable. But because we have these foster families that are that know that these children and are in and out, in and out, in and out. I have a girlfriend out there that I don't deal with. I should say associate. She was my girlfriend. But, you know, we were good. And, again, she was a part of the Harriet Tubman Hub, okay? She was on my website and everything. We fell out based on just her chick, okay? The way she talked about the children, the way she, again, could care less about the parents. It's like, okay, I'm listening to this person, and I know what I'm striving to build, and this is not somebody who I mesh with. The way she thinks, the way she acts, what she's talking about is anti, you know what I'm saying, Saving Our Seeds Project. So I had to cut her off because, again, there are plenty of foster parents like that. In it for the money, don't care about the family, and, again, they don't even want to be a forever home. Okay, they don't plan on fostering to adopt no child. So, again, why are you even in this field? Oh, it's a money grab. Those kind of people are horrible people, horrible foster parents, and horrible people. When I say horrible people, I mean you're a horrible person if you get into this industry simply for money because, again, there ain't enough money in it, number one. They purposely make it like that. It's not enough money for you to say that you work as a foster parent. Okay, you have to have a job. You have to have your own income, and this supplements for taking in children. And again, if you're a money grab person, you want to take three children into your home because you know that's going to be three times whatever the check is going to be. You don't really care about them. You know, you're talking about it behind their back. Oh, as soon as you get back from the visit, you calling me, telling me, you know, talking about the mom like a dog. You talk about the children that are in your home like a dog as if you don't understand where they're coming from. Again, I was a system baby. I was a check baby, okay? I was all of my siblings were in foster care. The only reason why I was in an actual foster care is because they got to my biological grandmother before I was placed into foster care. But my grandmother took a check till I was 18. So, again, I was in foster care, okay? So when you play those home games with Satan, I'm ready to lay a hoe down, okay? I don't like that. And again, I find that across the board. You know, we got people who are sincerely like me, and not necessarily as extreme because they may not have been fucked, you know, but it's sincere like me in the game. And we have these extremes of people who are in here money grabbing, don't care about the children, are disrespectful of the children, could care less if they reunite with the family. So, again, those are the two things I find deplorable. The agencies that don't want the children to get back with the family, and the foster parents who have no business being foster parents.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I can dig it. You're just expressing yourself. Ain't nothing wrong with expressing yourself. At this time, if anyone have any call, any statements or comments or want to ask a question, please press 1 after open your line up. If anyone got any questions, statements, or comments, or announcements, please press 1 to open your line up at this time. If you have anything to say, you want to join the dialogue. Yeah, I understand what you're saying, though, so Shane. Hold up. Let me open this line up right quick. 901-292. If you have any questions, comments, statement, announcement, please do so at time. 901-292, your line is open. Go ahead.
Free the land. Good evening, Sister Fala.
But,
free the land, Fala.
Yes, sir.
Yes, how are you? My name is Mama Ayo, of course. I'm with the Republic of New Africa. I am really impressed with all of the work that you're doing, so I'm really honored to at least hear your voice this evening. I do have a couple of questions. Because you are heavily involved in the foster care, and I would say also the adoption process, one of the issues that we are talking about in the community is how often our children of African descent are given up for adoption to other people who do not look like us. And it is
right.
A cause for concern because I do know that within the adoption system, we know that children of the from the Jewish, the Hebrew, the Jewish faith, they cannot be adopted out. And also, I believe some Native Americans cannot be adopted other than within their own tribal groups. Am I correct in my statement?
Yes, that's true. That's true. I know for sure the Native Americans. I'm not sure about you, but I doubt it.
Okay, yeah. So is it feasible for us as Africans in America, new Africans, to come up with a policy to keep our children within our ethnic group? Because, you know, there are some horror stories. It is definitely to be raised by others that don't look like us, that have no connection with culture, history, et cetera. I often have grave concerns for our children, and I know that we've gotten away from what you just described, the extended family, you know, the cousins and the aunties and the grandmamas having a support system so that those children can be adopted or held for the parent until that time when they can take care of the children. Is it going to be possible for us to demand that our children, and there's plenty of them, they can only be adopted by black people, by new Africans?
You know, that's not right now, because we haven't officially, again, we're still dealing with these reparations and nationality and whatnot. I don't know what that process would look like, but what we can do right now is we can all get licensed. We can all get licensed. So, again, the way that you stop these others from getting our children is by all of us getting licensed or certified, starting agencies, okay? That's how you start a group home. You know, you become a foster parent. Everybody become a certified or licensed home. And then as black folks, so, you know, make that a movement. That's, to me, that would be the only way that we could take it into our own hands. Make it a movement for at least somebody in your family to be certified so that they can take in community children, you know, if need be. And not even just what somebody in your family, but many of us, you know what I mean? So that's the way that we're going to be able to take in our own children. We have to get open our homes. And again, there's a stigma when it comes to us opening our homes. And again, we need to get rid of that stigma, okay? We're so used to being on the other end, our children being taken from us. And our, you know what I mean, our children, we need to get on, you know what I mean? I don't know. We need to get involved and participate. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be how we get our children back and get our children in our homes and placed in our homes. Again, I've had black children. I've had mixed girls. You know, these girls had a white mother. And so they, you know, adamantly told me they weren't black, adamantly. Okay, and again, I've dealt with that, you know, racism, self-hate in my own house, when, of course, I would have loved to just been somewhere with some black children who love to be in a black house, you know what I mean? But, and I've had, again, the Mexican girls and whatever, but we have to open up our homes, and we have to clean up our homes, okay? And that's another thing why a lot of us don't bring, you know, the social services aspect to become foster parents. Because a lot of us are doing stuff that we ain't got no business doing, and we don't want to clean up our homes and our lifestyle so that we can open up our homes. You have to do it. You have to make a decision to clean up your life, clean up your household so that you can offer up your home. Because when you open up your home again, you open up your home to ridicule. These people are coming into your home and putting you under scrutiny that they don't even put these other people under. Again, I say that in truth and honesty in preparing you all. That's why I say get your own license. Don't go get certified through an agency. Start your own agency, you know what I mean? But if you get your own license, you have a little bit more control over what's going on, and they don't come to your house as much. But again, they're expecting you with your own license to be living a clean life. Okay, so when they come certify you and your house is spick and span and you're doing everything correctly, they expect that that's how you're really living. Okay, not you know, after they leave, you got Jimmy Bob coming up out the closet. You know what I mean? He only live there. You're gonna leave. Stuff like that. You know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, you answered quite a few questions that I was going to ask. So that's very, very that's very, very important, especially when we need community support if we're going to be taking care of our own children. So you brought up some really, really great points, because I was going to ask, you know, I feel like some of the foster homes that I have been involved with, just with the children coming from foster situations as an educator, some of the stories didn't sound so well. You described that when you were talking, that some people are just in it for the money. They're not in it for the love of our children. And that's the difference that you'll see in some of these foster situations. And we do not, one of the biggest things that we find in the foster system is that our children are open to abuse, maltreatment. And that's really the most frustrating thing, because I believe that we are a better people than that, that we love on our children the best that we can and those that come to us. So those are some valid points that you're raising. So I really appreciate it. The other thing I wanted to ask was about when you talk about your saving the seeds, are you promoting community gardens, agricultural projects with your saving the seeds?
Okay, when I say saving our seeds, I'm talking about children. I'm not involved in any projects like that. I would love to be. My initial business was Blacks Eating, and that's I have a vegetarian a mother's menu at the end of my book. So again, I was Blacks Eating, and I was kind of in that direction of not necessarily community gardens, but getting folks involved with diet and making sure that even if you're not a vegetarian, you do some meatless Mondays and do some fasting. And, you know, I'm a pescatarian, so I'm not vegan or vegetarian at this point, but I 90%, you know, vegetarian diet. So that's kind of like where I am with that. But I would love to add an initiative like that. So, again, I don't know if you got my information, but anybody, you and anybody else listen, I'm open. This is a nonprofit grassroots effort, so I'm open to everything, networking all across the nation, all across the country, and just getting the work done.
Thank you so much. All right, I look forward to communicating with you some more.
Okay, thank you, sis.
Free the land, free the land.
Free the land. And free all political prisoners. And free Mumia Abu-Jamal right now.
I say.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You have any more questions on Mama Ayo, or that's it?
I have lots. I didn't know if I could continue asking questions.
Continue on. You can go ahead.
Okay. The other thing that I'm thinking about is that when you do set up your programs for the community, do you have volunteers that come to help you in all of your initiatives? You have your what I call your different collectives.
Well, right now it's a family business and endeavor, and I do have friends that are, like I said, extended family, ones that I've grown up with. But right now, so those are my volunteers. Again, one of my childhood friends, she's actually also in the special education field, and then my daughters and my son. So yeah, that's kind of like, I have here and there folks who reach out for different projects and events, like I said, the backpack giveaways, just depending. I called on different folks, and again, my children, my family. I'm open to that, as well as if anybody in any other state would like to start doing some of these pop-ups in their state. and want to gather again, like the Synthetic Collective, and do something similar through a pilot, a pilot program, I'm open to networking and making that happen as well. I know I've been really successful with fundraising for the backpacks with all of my on Facebook with all of my friends and family. So that's
Absolutely.
How we were able to get the backpacks each year through friends, family, volunteers, donating funds.
Absolutely, thank you. That's those are some very, very good points that you're raising. So I thank you for all of your information. You sound like you have a very busy life with all your initiatives.
I'm trying to stay busy. As long as I'm alive, I'm thankful and grateful to be able to get some work in.
Absolutely, absolutely. So one of the questions that I want to ask, particularly because we're really, really concerned about, do you also work with, mothers and children who are, survivors of domestic violence?
I have not worked with, specifically with them together. The children come from different backgrounds. I would love to. And again, we have right now I'm doing one of my little pilot side things where we're doing group therapy Thursdays, and it's kind of like right now I'm making it comedic or whatever, but I do want to kind of gather every Thursday and have a group of us who are talking. And it's just like the sisters being real, talking about it. It's not necessarily dealing with the children now, but it's more just women talking about their experiences. And I've had to pull a lot of us, and that's something that's going on in our community. I'm glad you brought that up. That's something that's going on in our community. That's another thing that's swept under the rug. We rarely talk about it. And I listen and I look at some of my stuff, and I can tell some of the shows I've deleted because they got personal. And I know people don't want their personal business just all over the place like that. But I'm thinking about even taking it over to Zoom so that it is private, more private than YouTube when we get there. But we do need to start having these conversations about all this going on in our homes. With the adults, because that's what, not even with the adults. I had one sister share with me, and again, I don't want to go into too many details, but I had no idea what was going on when we were talking. And by the time I was done talking about an experience that a sister had years ago, the sister who I was talking to revealed that she was currently dealing with and had been dealing with an abuser for 4 years. And, she was, on the surface, nobody knew, and everybody thought that they had, they had a little fuss thing going on, but nobody knew that he was literally beating her daughter, verbally and physically abusive to her younger son. And I'm just like, I was talking about a totally different person. So we need to start, and again, this conversation didn't go over online. We had a conversation once we hung up the phone. She called me back. Mm-hmm. She was like, oh, my God. It's like you already knew what I was going through. And I had no idea. Again, a lot of us are keeping this domestic violence thing under covers and pretending like it's not happening. And then at the same time, shunning women for being single mothers. And at the same time, you're at home married, getting beat on by your husband. We got, again, these are things, number one, we're talking about it a little bit here, okay, but these are things that we need to deal with, and we need to deal with them behind closed doors. Awesome. We need to heal our families, but we don't have to heal them in front of the world, and again, a lot of this domestic violence and stuff is coming from the plantation mentality. It's coming from even the men, not necessarily being in the home. It's coming from, again, the plantation. So we have to figure out the route to this, create safe spaces for us to converse, and really get into it. And then also we need to refer folks out for counseling and therapy. We also need to, again, I'm not saying this to be funny at all, sisters, but some of us, we need to have create a fund, a little small same as we have the fund to, for helping people get licensed for being a foster parent. We need to have a small little fund for some of our women to get a divorce, okay? And I'm saying our women are staying trapped in these marriages that were not ordained by the Most High, no ancestor or nobody, something that they got themselves into, and we need to help them get out of it, because a lot of times it's simply financial, and it's simply the legalities of it. They need to know what proper course of action to take to get a divorce. Now you can get a divorce. You don't have to, they don't have to sign off anymore, especially if there's some kind of domestic violence issue going on. There are special programs where we can get our sisters and the children up out of the homes of these abusive men, so you don't have to stay, don't have to pretend. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I don't know if I went somewhere else, but
you brought up a wonderful topic. These are the real issues that we face as a Black community, and those things are real, and they have to be discussed. If we talk about we're going to in the spirit of collective work and responsibility, we're going
right.
to, and that's this day, if we're going to solve our problems together. If we're going to face our problems, we've got to put in some of the programs that you're talking about. There has to be some healing. There has to be some counseling. And there has to be some policing. There has to be a point where the brothers are going to have to face the brothers who are abusive. And that's not
possible. Right.
All of that.
Right.
Multiple layers. Because that's what our community is facing right now. So thank you so much again, Sister Fala, and I look forward. I have your information, and you'll definitely be hearing from us.
Okay. And thank you.
Mama Aya.
Thank you for listening, okay?
Oh, yes. Wonderful.
Okay. All right, Mama. I love to have a mama. That's even better than a sister.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Thank you, brother.
No doubt, Mama. It's always a pleasure, sister. It's always a pleasure. Free the land.
Free the land, I am, I will.
No doubt. Okay, sister. Can you give your final, what give the final thought? What you want to leave with? You want to leave with a quote or constant information? What are your final thoughts you want to leave it with? So what are your final thoughts? Give us your final thoughts right now.
My final thoughts are just all of us need to be thankful and grateful to be here, to be in the land of the living, to be sane, to still be striving, ready and willing to build. Let's bring in 2023 on that vibration, gratefulness, thankfulness, okay? And having true love in our hearts, and let's get focused forward on our families, okay? And let's focus on fixing the family, okay? So let's get free and let's fix our families, and let's learn how to love each other and respect each other and honor each other. Let's learn how to forgive each other. Let's learn how to forgive ourselves. So those are my final thoughts and my words.
True indeed. I appreciate it. Again, I want to thank you for coming to our broadcast. You know, I understand. You know, I'm gonna salute you at your work and your efforts. I also want to commend you for the work that you're doing. You know, the sacrifice that you're making, right? And I appreciate everything you're doing, sister. I appreciate everything you're doing. Also, that if anyone had any little one kind of social behind enemy lines, Peter Lickett to Georgia at the University. We can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, up on the Georgia University. We're currently making a new website. But you still can access our website through the mobile device with the georgiauniversity.com. But if you want to contact directly, you can contact through email, which is georgiauniversity71@gmail.com. Again, at georgiauniversity71@gmail.com. Long live the resistance, long live the African independent movement. And free them all. Free the land. Peace.